We're in part three. Somebody said part three about teachings on actually the series. You already got it. We're into that series, but we are in part three of our teachings on faith. Say faith.
Faith.
Faith for the promises of God. Amen. Let's get our foundational scripture for these lessons that we've been taught on. You've already got it, and then we'll get into our word. We'll review the last lesson briefly that we taught, and then we'll get into our word for today. Somebody say our word for today. I feel a little tugging going on right here in my spirit. I don't know what that means other than the fact that God might pull me in some areas that I wasn't, that I hadn't planned to go in, but where he leads us, it'll be a blessing for all of us. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, 1 through 3, our focal verse is 3A, I believe, or 3C. 3C, I believe. And we just want to prove the fact from the scriptures that God says that we already got some things. Somebody say amen. And it reads thusly, therefore, somebody say therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, say his rest. I always want to talk about that, but that's not the focal point. Amen. Somebody say amen. He says, let us fear lest any of you seem to what? What's the it that he's mentioning? Okay. Let's read again. Ready? This is going to be a teaching day. Let's read again together. Ready? Y'all can say rest now? Okay. It's possible that some of us can fall short of entering into his rest. Somebody say amen. Some people teach that his rest is peace. I think that his rest happens to be his promises. Somebody say amen. Verse number 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, them being the children of Israel, us being the present people that he was talking to then. Amen. But the word which they heard did not what? Why? It wasn't mixed with what? Faith in those who heard it. Somebody say amen. Very important point. Important point. If we were going to receive any promises from God, if we're going to receive anything from God, as the word is preached, we must mix faith. Somebody say faith. Faith with the word, amen. Which means you believe the word, you receive the word. And in some instances, we practice the word, what God says. We need to practice. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Or I like to say it this way, faith produce action. Say actions. Sometimes God asks us to believe something and there's some instructions that's tied to the believing so that, my God, I'll say that, so that we can receive what thus saith the Lord. Say what thus saith the Lord. A lot of teachings out there on grace and faith today. Somebody say amen. But God has not walked away from us obeying instructions. Somebody say obeying instructions. Y'all talking a little slow today. If you read chapters 3 and 4, you'll find out, Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, you'll find out that the children of Israel, the first bunch, could not walk into the promised land for two reasons, at least one, say one. They wouldn't listen to the Lord. Even though they heard, they didn't hear. Does that make sense to you? When you listen, somebody can really tell that you're listening based upon your actions. Somebody say amen. One, they didn't hear. And two, they did not obey. He's using these same references in the New Testament, which help us to understand that when we hear the Lord, say hear the Lord. Whatever he says to us, he's counting on us to do if we're going to reach the place that he desires us to reach. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So there's hearing. Somebody say hearing.
Hearing.
Somebody say hearing again.
Hearing.
Yeah, here's another crucial point. It's important that we remain in relationship with the Lord. Or we find ourselves in a place where we can hear what thus saith the Lord. Somebody say amen. Hebrews 3 and 4, you understand that when God was talking about the Israelites, he was talking about the fact that they had to hear him, say hear him, But he spoke not directly to them. He spoke through the prophet. He spoke through the prophet Moses. Moses went up on the mountain, received from the Lord, and Moses came down on the, from the mountain and spoke to the people. Somebody say amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, I was reading just this past week, and I'm laughing because I know what I'm getting ready to say. God showed up at the mountain. Moses had to go up, and God showed up with all this thunder and lightning and all that kind of stuff. And the children of Israel say, Moses, you speak to us. We don't want God to speak to us. I mean, he sounds like basically, this is parenthetically I'm throwing in, or from my own point of reference, he sounds like he's too strong for us to hear. Somebody say amen. So God has always spoken through his mouthpiece or his prophet. Somebody say amen. That's a pattern in the Bible that we don't see changing. He's always used his man or woman, if you will, to speak to the people. Amen. That's why it's important that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some do. Amen. Because God is always speaking. And not only is he always speaking in gatherings such as this, he's also speaking a word to build our faith. He says, faith come how? And hearing by what? Which implies that the word is either taught or preached. And we believe, receive based upon what we hear. Somebody say amen. But Pastor, you can't believe everything that the preachers say. You can if you want to. Somebody say amen. But it's important that we walk in the Spirit. Say walk in the Spirit. Which goes back to what I've been telling you for the last 2 weeks. It's important that we be filled with the Spirit. Say filled with the Spirit. I'm always, when I'm listening to preachers, I'm listening for faith-building messages, for one. And for two, I'm looking for the anointing. Say the anointing. Or I'm looking to experience the anointing that's on the life of the preacher. Amen. When the preacher says something that don't necessarily line up with me, I understand that by my spirit. Amen. But when he or she says something that's for my life, I also understand it by my spirit. Amen. I understand it by my spirit because I what? Walk in the Spirit. Amen. Somebody said, walk in the Spirit. Or sometimes you know where you are in your life. I said, sometimes you know where you are. Well, you should know where you are in your life all the time. Amen. But sometimes you know where you are in your life and you can hear what the Lord is saying to you based upon where you are in your life. Somebody say amen. God is not in the tearing down business. He's in the building up business. He's in the building business, that is in the business of making us better. Somebody say better.
Better.
Now sometimes you have to tear down in order to build up. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You got an old house, you want a new house in this place, what do you do? Tear down the old one, do what? Build up, build a new one. And I heard God tell Jeremiah that he needed to pluck up and tear down, amen, and then rebuild through the word. Somebody say amen. So sometimes we have to break down some of our mindsets. Somebody said mindsets. Can I just throw this in parenthetically? I told you I was going to go somewhere that I didn't plan to go. But let me just throw this in. Some of our biggest problems as believers is this thing right here. Some of us think that we should be in places of success, triumph. Those type of places, and a lot of times we are not there, and it's simply because of where our mindsets are. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I heard the Lord say to me this week concerning some people. Some of us are in the wilderness or in the place of testing and training, but in our minds, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the place where we've been delivered from, amen. There's no progress in going backwards. There's no progress in going backwards. Progress is in moving forward, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So sometimes we have to do like Paul. We have to let go some things in order to move forward. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm talking to somebody, amen. Paul said that we have to let go of the things that have already happened and stretch forward to the things that haven't happened, amen. Which means in a lot of cases, we got to let go past hurts, past oppressions, past a lot of things in order to go move forward in the direction that God desires to move forward in. And oftentimes that takes faith to do that. Amen. You got to believe that you can get to the next place. You got to believe that you can get to the place that God desires for you to get. Amen. If you remain in the thinking that's always kept you in a particular place, that's the place that you're going to remain in. Amen. Your thinking has to change. And I've been teaching you this for years. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I do better when I think better. I do excellent when I think excellent. I do progressive when I think progressive. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If your minds or if our minds are stuck in that same old place that keeps us in that same old rut, that's the place we're going to be. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So it takes faith to move forward. Say move forward.
Move forward.
That's why God tells us things sometimes that we've never heard before. Because he wants us to grasp that, believe that, and then move forward in that thing that he's telling us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're teaching faith for the promises now, amen, which means it's a different level of faith. It's not natural faith. Say natural faith.
Natural faith.
I know some of y'all don't like it this morning. All of us got natural faith. All of y'all believe when you drove up on this campus this morning, you had somewhere at the park, amen. All of y'all believe when you pull that door was going to open, amen. All of y'all believe when you sat in that seat was going to hold you, amen. All of y'all believe that somebody was going to be here that you were looking for when you came in. Everybody got that kind of faith, amen.
Yes,
but it takes supernatural faith, say supernatural faith, in order to take possession of the supernatural things that God has provided for us as his children, amen. It's faith beyond natural faith, amen. That's why the scripture gives us a lot of examples of the type of faith that we need in order to take possession of promises. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Kind of believe that that job going to be waiting on her tomorrow when she get there. Everybody got that kind of faith. But in order to possess promises, we must have what? Supernatural. Somebody say supernatural.
Supernatural.
Verse number 3, and I'll get into today's lesson. Y'all all right? Well, the writer goes on to say, for we who have what? Believe. What does it take to enter into the rest of God? Somebody say believing. Somebody say believing. Believed is past tense. Say past tense. Which means you believed in the past and you continue to believe until such time as you take possession of the promise. Amen. If faith breaks in the middle of the promise, guess what? The promise has been broken. Not on the part of God who give it, but on the one who's receiving it or the recipient, amen. But you can repent and look back toward the promise again by believing again, amen. Lord, I messed up. I got doubt in my mind. I ask you to forgive me so that I can possess the promise that you desire for me to possess, amen. So it takes belief. Somebody say believe.
Believe.
I hear somebody say, well, all of us doubt sometimes. You got to rise above that, amen.
Yeah.
It's all right to doubt Kathy. It's all right to doubt Michael. It's all right to doubt April and this baby right here, amen. But as it relates to God and what God promised, we can't get in a place of doubt, amen, because we won't receive. Say, won't receive. You remember I talked to you about Peter? Jesus came up to Peter in the boat, and Peter said, Lord, if it's me, if it's you bid me to come, Peter started out walking, amen. He started out walking. Somebody say amen. But he began to sink, amen. And when he began to sink, guess what? The promise left away from him, amen. As a matter of fact, he had to holler out to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. Say, help me.
Help me.
The Lord told Peter that he could come to him, amen. So the promise was you could make it.
Yeah.
But Peter started looking at his situation. He started looking at the wind and the waves and the boistering. And guess what? He began to fall away from the promise, amen. Can I help somebody? You got to keep your eye on the promise if you're going to receive the promise, amen. If you let situations and circumstances start shaking you away from the promise, you're going to fall away, amen. That's natural promises or supernatural promises, amen. Our focus have to remain on where we're going. Does that make sense to you? Or you'll fall away. You ever left home going somewhere? And got distracted on the way. And then forgot where you were going when you left home. That ever happened to anybody other than me? What happened was you lost your focus. And when you lost your focus through distractions, you were not able to get where you were going. Amen. But thank God that he renewed your mind and you started back in the right direction. Somebody say amen. It's very important that we keep our focus on the promise. If we're going to receive the promise. Does that make sense to you? I can't get to where I'm going for stopping in these passages. Amen. For we who have believed do what? Enter that rest as he what? Has said. The Lord says, so I swore in my wrath. Who did he get agitated with? The people that didn't believe. Amen. He said, I swore in my wrath they shall not what? Enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Very important point. Say important point. Everything that God has for us as believers in Christ, he's already taken care of it. That's why when you come up here and I pray for you, I thank God that you've received your healing in Jesus' name, because healing is already available. You got to beg for it, because in Christ, somebody say in Christ.
In Christ.
And this is very important that you understand. In Christ, he's already made everything available.
Yes.
And because you are in Christ, I'm in Christ, all that he's made available belongs to us.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Let me see if I can break it down. I got a wheel. I've left you a lot of stuff. You want it. But you got to wait till I die. Somebody say amen. I left you a lot of stuff in the wheel. It belongs to you. But you can't get it, one, until I die. Two, you can't get it unless you go to the probate so that you can hear what belongs to you, glory to God, and then receive it once it comes, amen.
Yeah.
The real deal is it belongs to you.
Yeah.
But some things have to happen in order for you to get it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We got to start believing that everything, because it's true, everything that Christ have provided for us, he ain't nowhere trying to make nothing. It's already available. Say already available.
Already.
I hear you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. I'm trying to get to today's lesson. I've already been preaching. Oh, the clock hadn't started, so I still got 45 minutes. Jeremy was so into listening, glory to God, he forgot to turn on the clock, amen. Don't you give me no extra time, man. Ephesians, listen, Ephesians chapter, yes, sir, I hear you. He says, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, somebody say has, that's past tense, isn't it? Who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. Where? Somebody say in Christ. So in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing that I need to be successful in this life. Where are heavenly places? Heavenly places are in Christ. Who's in Christ? Does that make you a heavenly place? Somebody say amen. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, man. That's just about everything you need, amen.
Yeah.
And he's producing spiritual stuff. Say spiritual stuff.
Spiritual.
Especially fruit on the inside. Somebody say fruit on the inside. Not only is he producing fruit, he's producing spiritual gifts, if you will, amen. Those are spiritual things. Say spiritual things.
Spiritual.
Or spiritual blessings, amen. We've already got it. Say we've already got it.
Already got it.
Amen. Go back to, did I get done with Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3? I just wanted to prove the point that those things were already laid up for us, because the title of the series is, we've already got it. So we've already got it. Now, last time we got together, and I preached, because last week was a different type of setting, if you will. The Lord was speaking to many from the pews, so he would just allow us to bring some things into focus after they were spoken. But the week prior to that, we began to talk about supernatural faith. Say supernatural faith.
Supernatural.
We said number one, somebody say number one.
Number one.
That supernatural faith is the God kind of faith. Or the same type of faith that God possesses. Somebody say God possesses. Number one, the faith that God possesses never doubts. Whenever God says something, he believes it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, he believed it before he said it. Somebody said number two, the God kind of faith is the type of faith that speak those things that are not as though they are. And the premise for speaking those things is the word that's been sown on the inside of you. Does that make sense to you? You're speaking things that are not present as though they are present. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you're speaking it based upon what the word has shared with you. Does that make sense to you? Number two, we said supernatural faith is Christ-like faith, or the same type of faith that Christ used in his earthly ministry. Somebody say amen. And we grow in that faith by receiving the type of faith that we see Jesus operate in his teachings, if you will. Somebody say amen. We took you to Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, where it talks about the fact that we live by the faith of, say the faith of, the Son of God. Somebody say amen. What kind of faith did Jesus have? Jesus believed everything that God said, and he did everything that God told him to do. Somebody say amen. That's the kind of faith we're trying to get to. Somebody say amen. Let's look at a couple of scriptures on that. Go to John chapter 5, verse number 19. Let's build on that just a little bit. John chapter 5, verse number 19. Ooh, glory to God. John chapter 5, verse number 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you that the Son, say the Son, who is the Son? The Son can do what? Of him what? Of himself. But what he sees, say what he sees, the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Amen. So whatever Jesus saw the Father do in the spirit realm, he believed it and he operated in that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's where our faith needs to be. If we're going to possess everything that God desires to possess, we need to see everything that God says for us to see. And I told you that faith paints pictures, say pictures, in our minds, say in our minds. If you can see it, you can achieve it. If you can see it, you can achieve it. So we need to see in the spirit or by way of revelation everything that God desires us to see and put it into action. Does that make sense to you? I feel like I'm talking over your head a little bit this morning. Somebody say amen. John chapter 12, verse number 49 and 50. Is this the vein you want me to be in, Lord? Yes, sir, I'll stay right here. Amen. I heard my pastor preaching while you go in there a couple of weeks ago. For a pastor, for a teacher, we're struggling in ways in the pulpit that you all don't know. Because one, we're trying to teach what we already know we're supposed to be teaching. And then secondly, the Lord is talking to us, so we got to balance all that out. Somebody say balance all that out. So when I ask the Lord, Lord, am I in the vein that you want me to be in? I just want to make sure I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do, even though I got something else written differently on my paper. Somebody say amen. So the type of faith that Jesus had was the type of faith that did everything that he saw God do, and he did everything that God said for him to do.
Amen.
Does this make sense to you? He says, Jesus says, for I have not spoken on what? My own authority. He said, but the Father. Say, but the Father. But the Father who sent me gave me what? Somebody say a command. Basically, he told him what to do. He gave me a command. What I should say and what I what? Should speak. Verse number 50. I hear that, Lord. Lord, want me to ask you, how are you on obeying commands? How are you on obeying commands? Boy, I wish I had that energy, amen. I ask you a question, how are you on obeying commands? My wife says sometimes. I can vouch for that, amen. What did you say, Shirley?
I thought the question was rhetorical.
It ain't rhetorical. You know, when it's rhetorical, I say, hey, this is a rhetorical question. Somebody say, man, how are you obeying commands? You say you're getting better? You ought to be an expert at that. That's because you think you're the commander. somebody say, man. The question is, how are you on obeying commands? When your superior give you a command, how are you on obeying them? Do it. Let me just help you today. If we're going to get what God wants us to be, we got to learn how to obey his command. Not commandments, different. Commandments are already written. Somebody say already written. Commands could be already written, but they're not necessarily written. Amen. Commands are basically what the Lord says to us in our relationship with him. He'll command us to do something. Even though he commands us to do something, he leave it on us to do. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm reminded of Deuteronomy chapter 30. He said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. And it was up to us to choose. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I'm giving you a choice, but this is what I would like for you to choose, but it's up to you to choose it. So when God speaks to us, and it almost seems like I'm talking foreign when I'm talking about God speaking to us, when I look around at some of our reactions, but God does speak. God is not dead. He's alive. Say he's alive. I'll tell you this again. He speaks mostly to me through his word. Somebody say through his word. And some things he says to me when I'm in his word, that's very profound. Say very profound. He said something to me the other day, a couple of weeks ago, I almost cried. I've got to the place in my relationship, and I want to talk about relationship a little bit. In my relationship with God, when God says some things to me from the word, I'll say, I believe. I believe. And sometimes I say, I receive. I receive. Well, one day, a couple of weeks ago, he was sharing some things with me in his word, and I say, I believe. And then he spoke back. He says, it's not a matter of your believing anymore. He says, not a matter of your believing anymore, which says that he knows I believe. He says, now about me showing you what you will see because you believe. That's a promotion, isn't it? When God can tell you it's not a matter of whether or not you believe anymore, but now it's a matter of me showing you what you're going to see because you believe, that's an elevation. Say an elevation.
Elevation.
Somebody say an elevation.
Elevation.
In my quiet time, in my relationship with the Lord, I'm telling you, the Lord will speak to me and tell me where to read. See, I got a witness. I spend time with the Lord every day. I say it every day. It's not a hit and a miss with me. It has been, and I'm not promoting myself. I'm just telling you where I am in my relationship with God. I love spending time with the Lord. I love getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I want to get up at 3:15, amen. But I love getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I know God is going to say something to me, amen. And what he says to me makes my life better, amen. So now he's speaking to me about where I'm going. And sometimes it almost blows my mind where I'm going, amen. But I believe. And it only comes, I only learn where I'm going because I spend time with the Lord. Kia, that's your boat. Is that what y'all call them these days? Your friend? What y'all call them? I need to be educated, Kia. What do y'all call them now? Babe, okay. That's a babe. Somebody say babe.
Yes,
and I'm not picking on her. I just need to know what they say these days. I want to stay in the loop. Stay in the loop. You know as much as you know about your babe.
Babe.
Because you spend time with him. Okay. You just happen to be here today. How many days a week you spend with him? About four. If you would have said every day, it would have been all right. That's how much time I used to spend with her when I was dating her. I tried to see her every day. You know why? Because I just wanted to be where she was. This is just the truth. I just wanted to be close to her. And the more time I spend with her, the more I learned about her. I learned some good things, and I learned some things that were not so good. The more time she spent with me, the more time she learned about me. And the more I trusted her, the more I unfolded to her concerning me. Does that make sense to you? Same way with the Lord. The more time you spend with him, the more you learn about him. The more time you spend with him, the more of himself he reveals unto you. And it's not an old fogey thing to spend time with the Lord. While I trust God to speak through man as it relates to certain parts of my life, there's other parts of my life that I want to only hear from God on. That's in relationship with him. In a relationship, starts slow. Somebody say slow. But it grows as you spend more intimate time with the person. Amen. So if you're just starting today and you're expecting God to speak today like he's going to speak 5 years from now, if you just spend time with him on a regular basis, he's not going to speak that way. Because he wants to show you your commitment first. He knows how committed you're going to be. But he wants to show you your commitment first, or your level of commitment first. Amen. I'm reminded when Jesus was with the disciples, he said, there's some things that I want to tell you now, but I can't tell you now because you're not ready to receive it. Amen. But there's going to come a time when you are ready to receive, then the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you. There are some things that God will tell some of us now we're not ready to receive. Amen. You're discarded. God don't waste words. But if you spend time with him and grow in relationship with him, he will unfold more of himself unto you. Does that make sense to you? God is telling me things these days, that I wouldn't have received from him 10 years ago. Based upon where my mind was, based upon what I had been taught that he would do or would not do. Does this make sense to you? Now I've grown with him in relationship. I'm hearing some stuff, man, I'm telling you, some serious stuff from the Lord, amen, that helps my life. You don't mind if I lean on you, dude. I need some support. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So Jesus said he didn't do nothing except the Father told him to do. He didn't speak nothing except what the Father told him to speak. That's the Christ-like faith. He goes on to say, therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Yeah, I'll say that. Have you ever noticed when you read the Gospels that every now and then Jesus is still away from the crowd? And he'll go just spend time with the Lord or with his Father. That's because he needed to hear something from his Father. He knew that he was God. He knew that he was fully man and fully God, but he needed to hear something from his Father because there were some things that his Father wanted to say to him in his earthly ministry. I remember when he got ready to choose his disciples. They choose his disciples. He went away with the Father and spent a whole night with him. And when he came from spending time with the Father, I'll take this one. He took 12 out of the whole big group. Amen. What am I telling? There's some decisions that you're about to make. You need to spend time with the Lord to hear what he desires for you to do, or the decision that he desires for you to make. Amen. Does that make sense to you? And that comes out of relationships. Seems like I'm bouncing in and out of faith and relationship, but I'm just saying what the Lord would have me to say. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So the type of faith that Jesus had was faith that believed everything that God said to him to say, everything that God told him to do. Somebody say amen. And then we talked about Holy Spirit produce faith within us. Somebody say amen. That's another form of supernatural faith. Somebody say amen. That's the faith that the Holy Spirit produces in us. Somebody say amen. Now, I thought what I was going to do next is tell you, what does supernatural faith do within us, the believer? But I don't have time to hit all three of those because my time is almost up. But what I will tell you is that faith, somebody say faith.
Faith
has a sound. Somebody say faith has a sound.
Faith has a sound.
And that sound is a sound of confidence. Say confidence.
Confidence.
Somebody say confidence.
Confidence.
Faith sound like this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. If Christ tells me to do something, I can do it because he's going to strengthen me to do it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Faith sound like this. God can do exceedingly abundantly above those things that I can think or act according to the power that worketh in me. He can do those things through me. That's the sound of faith that God wants us to possess. If God say jump, our response ought to be how high?
Yeah, Lord.
Not if you're going to catch me when I come down, amen. Because he's already going to take care of us, amen. He's just desirous for us to believe him. Does that make sense to you? And the last thing I want to tell you about faith is faith should be shared. Somebody say faith should be shared. God is doing some stuff in our lives. And if you really want to do God a favor, amen, tell folks what God is doing. Does that make sense to you? Philemon, the only chapter, that's the book before Hebrews. That's one you don't hear me call a lot. Philemon. What else do you want me to tell the folks, Lord? Philemon. Verses 4 through 6. It's only one chapter. Or Philemon, based upon what school you came from, amen. Which one is it, Shirley? Philemon. He said, I can't even find that one. I think it's before Hebrews. It is. He said, thank you. It's New Testament. It's New Testament. Oh, okay. All right. Verse number four. Verse number four. Verse four. Jeremy said, by who? Paul writes, I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers. He's talking about he's praying for Philemon because Philemon did something that he appreciated as it relates to a runaway slave that he had. I don't want to get into slavery today. And just because it was a slave doesn't mean that the person was black. Could have been a Jew. Could have been a Gentile. Could have been black. It could have been somebody that was captured in war. It could have been a domestic slave, a slave that owed money. And they had to work off that debt by being enslaved to the person that they owed. Could have been different kind of slave. See, a lot of us would buy into the fact that God was into slavery because we see slavery written in the book, amen. And because we're black and have been enslaved, we'll think every time we read slave that God is talking about somebody black. Not so biblically. Not so. Different kind of slaves. Amen. He said, I thank my God. Thank you, Lord. Making mention of you always in my prayers. Verse number five. He says, hearing of your what? Love. And what else? Faith. Which you what? Have who? Toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. Here's the point. Verse number six. That's right, buddy. That's right. Verse number six. He says that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Say effective. More. Say effective. Effective. My wife said more effective. Is that what it says?
No.
What it says? Become effective. Say effective. Effective. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So whatever Christ has done in us, we need to share with somebody. Amen. Because here's the real deal. Some folks ain't going to know nothing about Christ unless you tell them. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Even some folks who come to church because they ain't experienced nothing. So we're to share our faith. You got healed today, you need to tell somebody. Amen. If you got delivered today, you need to tell somebody. Amen. Somebody say amen. Because somebody needs to know that God can do things that other people can't do. Amen. Yes. I mean, I got healed of rheumatoid arthritis. I tell everybody.
Yes.
Everybody who want to hear.
Yes.
I got delivered from a whole lot of smoking and drinking and snorting and puffing and a whole lot of stuff, amen. See, y'all laughing, amen, because I ain't always been a preacher. I was saved and getting high. And doing some other stuff too, amen. But God delivered me. And deliverance started in my mind, amen. And I share what he's done, amen. I've been a whole lot of things saved. Saved. Baptized. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Been a whole lot of things saved, amen. But God continuously delivered me. Some of y'all beating up on yourself because you're saved and still doing some stuff you know y'all not to do. Just hang in there, amen. That's what the Lord used to tell me. Hang in there. His deliverance power is right at hand, amen. You got to believe right here, amen. In a lot of cases, this has to be changed, amen. Do you not read those epistles in the New Testament where Paul is writing to Christians about sin that's operating in their lives, but they're saved? Who in the world told you because you were saved, you ain't going to do nothing wrong anymore, amen? I will tell you this, a lot of the problem is in mine, amen. God made provisions for forgiveness because he knew we were going to mess up even in him, amen. I'm sure no preaching now. Now let me say something else, then let me preach this. Don't make no excuse for messing up, amen. God said I would, so I guess I might as well. No. You're supposed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, amen. And when knowledge get in you, AG say, well, you know better, you ought to what? Do better, amen. Y'all know who AG is, but we know, amen. You ought to do better. That's why God said, add to your faith virtue to virtue what? Knowledge. Somebody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
How did you learn about being a captain? Knowledge. How did you learn about doing what you do? Knowledge. How you going to learn to be better in your Christian walk? Knowledge. That's why God would give me to always try to teach you something. Somebody say amen. Because it takes knowledge. Say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Jesus says the wisdom is the principal thing, but all you get what? Understanding. A part of principle, a part of the principle, wisdom is knowledge. I mean, if you, glory to God, if you're going to operate in wisdom, there has to be some knowledge.
Yeah.
I like to say that wisdom is knowledge rightly divided or rightly put into place. Amen. But it takes knowledge. Oh, I hear that. Oh, my God, Lord, like I said, some of us only go one way because we only know one way to go. Some of us only act one way because we only know one way to act. So if we're gonna change the way that we act, change the direction that we go, we got to learn a new direction, a new way. Does that make sense to you? I hear this. When I was a child, I understood like a child. I spoke as a child. I acted like a child, Michael. But when I became a man, say a man. When I became mature in my thinking, I put away childish things. Lord, I don't want to say this. But I'll say it because he said, if you act like a fool, it's because you still think like a fool. I said, that's hard, Pastor. He's bending his head down there like that. I said again, if you act like a fool, it's because you think like a fool. And foolish thinking only means you're unwise in your thinking. Well, a lot of times we my God, Lord, I got to say this. A lot of times we live out of our emotions. I've taught this for years. Emotions could be right, but emotions could be wrong. You operate on how you feel just about every decision that you make. You are on the way to some trouble, amen. To some trouble. Somebody say amen. If I did everything that I felt, I'd be in a lot of trouble, amen. Because I feel like doing stuff that's totally contrary to the will of God sometimes, amen. Totally. Because I'd be thinking sometime when somebody crossed me to do some things that I don't have no business doing, some things that can land me in the prison house, amen, because I pack. Somebody say pack. But if I get out of my feelings, glory to God, and deal with facts, somebody say fact, I stay in the right lane every time. Because I carry. Pack, carry, all of them mean the same thing. Got me a judge. And the judge knows that her pastor tried to walk the straight and narrow. And if I came before her in her court, she's going to recuse herself because I'm a pastor. But Terica, you better know, if I come before you in your court, something bad is happening. Amen. Because I have wisdom. Because I have wisdom. I might feel like smoking a joint, but I ain't going to smoke it. Amen. Every now and then, I promise you, I'm telling on myself today. Every now and then, I feel like drinking a beer, amen, but I don't drink it, amen, because I know what it'll do to me, amen. I want another one and another one, and I'll come up here, y'all, my eyes be blushed every day. Pastor look like he been drinking, it's because he have been, amen. I smoked for 20-something years, 17 years. Every now and then, I do this. No, ain't no cigarettes up there. But I feel like smoking every now and then. But I don't operate out of my feelings. I don't operate out of my feelings. Because I understand wisdom, truth, and fact. I'm trying to close, and I promise you it's the Lord. If I felt like slapping you, talking about you, you big dude. For teaching purposes only. I know where you from, Connie. Amen. If I felt like snapping you, brother, fact will kick in. Let me tell you what fact will tell me. If you snap that dude, he probably gonna tear you to pieces. Amen. And I'll walk in the fact. Amen. Not in the feeling. Does that make, can I help somebody? Okay, you feel like cheating on your wife, you know that's the wrong thing to do. You know what's going to happen if she catch you. Some women will get a divorce. Some women will exercise the right, amen, to bear arms, amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, I'm trying to tell you, we got to stop operating in our emotions. Because that emotion got somebody in jail last night. How in the world did I get there? So I guess the point I was making that the Lord had me making was, you can be saved and still in some tough places. I was going to use this scripture somewhere else. Go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14, then we're going to close. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14. To me, I sound like I'm all over the place. You'll see the scripture again next week, but let me just show you today. It says, are they not? Go to verse number 13. Can I help you? Can I just set this passage, these two passages up? You and I have angels trying to help us out of stuff. We just need to learn how to say the right thing. My wife told me a couple of weeks ago. She said to me, if you don't mind me sharing, it's about the angels. Okay. My wife told me, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that she woke up and she heard, shoot, shoot. And she said, I knew that was my angel leaving. And then when she got out of the bed, she saw a fella on the floor. And she picked up the fella. Yeah. She said, do we have anything with feathers? Am I saying that right? Feathers? Feathers? And not that I know of. But she said, look. And then she told me the story. And then I said, well, I saw one of those last week, too. So I wanted to set those two passages up by telling you that we have ministering angels that are available to us to help us out of some places. I told her, well, you got to learn how to say the right things. You got to learn how to say what God say and not what your natural mind is telling you to say. Because the angel is waiting for you to give him instructions by you speaking the word of the Lord so that he can bring to pass those things that you're speaking as it relates to. Now, this get real deep spiritually right here. Does this make sense to you? The scripture says, but to which of the angels has he, God, ever said, sit what? At my right hand till I what? Make your enemies your footstool. He hadn't told any angels that because they're supposed to be working. Somebody said working. Next verse. Are they not all what? Who are ministering spirits? Are they not all ministering spirits? Spirits sent forth to do what? Minister. What does it say? Does it say what? For. Somebody say for. It doesn't say two, does it? It says for. Say for. For those who what? Will inherit salvation. Somebody say will. That's future, isn't it? Salvation has to do with deliverance right there. Rescued from some places. So we got angels that's ready to work for us. But we got to learn the right things to say. And even in some instances, the right thing to do. Because they can snatch us out of some places. Does this make sense to you? Okay, I feel like I've had enough to say. Somebody say amen. So we need, my God. How did I get way over here, Lord? Yes, sir. We need to understand that God desires for us awesome lives. Somebody say awesome lives. But there has to be a working along with him. Faith. Somebody say faith. Some cases, obeying instructions. Say instructions. In order for us to receive that life. I hear this. The Lord said, have faith in him. Somebody say faith in him. Let us pray.